Okay, so we are, this week is Parshas Noach. We have a very unique Haftarah. The Haftarah for Parshas Noach is Roni Akora Lo Yolada. Now, why do we lay in Roni Akora Lo Yolada? Because down in this Perek, it's this from Yeshaya, Perek Nun Dalit. When you get down to Pasuk Tes, it says Ki me noyach zoisli asher nishpati me avar me noyach oid al aretz ke nishpati miktsoif olaych umigor bach. Okay, because we have over here a reference to the Mabul and the Haftach of the HaKadosh Baruch Hu will not destroy the world again, so that's why we lay in this Haftarah. But what is very interesting is that this Haftarah is also the Haftarah, one of the Shiva Dinechemta, which parish is that? Kiseitzei. So we really are laying once again another parsha, another haftarah from the Shiva Dinechemta. So what is the Hashkacha Pratis that, and then we go on to Anias Soyara Loi Nuchama, and that doesn't need to be read. Anias Soyara Loi Nuchama is certainly Nuchama. So why is all of this? Why is there? That's also that's a different haftarah. That's Re'eh. Okay, that doesn't need to be read at all. It's only Minig Ashkenaz. It's very Minig Ashkenaz to read them both. So we're laying really two half toiros of Shiva Dinechemta. Double. Kefil. Why? Why are we doing this? Why are we doing this? So I saw in a sefer, what's the Nechama? We already got past the Shiva Dinechemta. We're ready now in the new year. We're moving ahead. The answer is because Chazal tell us that Chodesh Cheshvan, even the Chodesh Cheshvan it's mar, it's bitter. There are no holidays. The reason why there are no holidays is because the holiday has not yet happened. Mar Cheshvan is going to be the holiday which we will enjoy, celebrate the Chanukas Bayis Shalishi. The Beis HaMikdash will be built in Tishrei La'asilavo, and the celebration for the building of the Bayis Shalishi will take place in Chodesh Cheshvan. So therefore, that's when we will have the ultimate Nechama. Therefore, by design, Chazal, when and how does read in this month, which is it's the first month, it's always Noach, it's always the Haftarah of the first month of Chodesh Cheshvan. So therefore, in the beginning of Chodesh Cheshvan, which is bitter because there are no holidays, we are right away reminded, don't despair. Even though there is no holiday, this Chodesh will turn into the greatest Simcha for Klal Yisrael, the Chanukah Spai Shlishi, and therefore we will celebrate, and indeed it will be a Roni Akara. You will sing out, it will be Roni. Anias, and all next, you have to go through all the psukim, but all these psukim are very powerful words of comfort alluding to the Geula Hasida, the time of the Bayis Shlishi. Okay, let's now go to the parasha. The parasha begins. What?
The only time Noach was ever mentioned on outside of the
parish. Outside, no, I think there's another in Eiv also, I think. No, in Eiv it says Daniel Noach. I don't remember. I think there's another place, but maybe I'm wrong. Okay, let's go to the parasha.
What is the month of
Iyar? Iyar is Pesach Sheni. Iyar is Pesach Sheni. Okay. Eile Tolados Noach. Noach is Sadik Tamar B'Doros of Zlokim is Halich Noach. I saw from Rav, how could I forget? Rav Moshe's Talmud. Alpert. Rav Nissen Alpert. So he has a discussion. He takes note of why does it say the word Noach three times in the Pasuk? Eile Tolados Noach. That's number one. Noach ich tzadik, tam hoyem derosaf. And number three, es helokim es halich noach. Three times the word noach. So I don't know, he has an idea, ayin sham what he says, but this idea that it says noach three times has triggered in my mind a machshava. We mentioned this medrash a couple of times that a person in life has three names. This medrash. He has the name that he was given by his parents. Person is born in the world, comes to the bris, the parents give a child the name. The parents have a desire. This is what should become of you. Then there is the name that you're known by others. Other people, they refer to you by a certain name, even though your parents may have one desire, they may have a certain will that you should turn into a certain type of person, but you may be known, your legacy may be a bit different. And then there is the name that you make for yourself, the Medrash says. The name that you make for yourself, three different names. Okay, that requires a lot of thought, what exactly that means. The name your parents give you, the name you make for yourself, and the name that you are known to as others. So Yahushua, with this idea we discuss in reference to Yahushua, because Yahushua is called three different names. In one place he's called Hoshea ben Nun, other place he's called Yahushua, and the third place he's called Yahushua ben Nun. So you have three different combinations, and we discuss in there that those three combinations refer to the three different names. The name his parents gave him, Hoshea ben Nun, the name that he was known to by people. He was known by people of Yahushua. I don't remember. One, he was known by people, and one was the name that he made for himself. So I think if we take that idea and we plug it, we inject it into this passage, we can say exactly the same thing. Noach, here's name appears three times. And this, the godless of Noach. Noach, it was the same name for all three. Eilet Toledostach. These are the generations of Noach. The first reverence of Noach refers to Noach in the Shalshelas Hayichos. The generations of Noach. These are his children. Well, he was a child. He was a grandchild. He was a great-grandchild. And he had children and grandchildren and great-grandchildren. So the first reference, Eilet Toledostach, we mention Noach in terms of his genealogy, in terms of his Yichos. That's the name that his parents gave him. Then it says, Noach, Ish Tzadik, Tamim Hoya B'doy Raisaf. The name that he made for himself was Noach. Eichet Noach. Noach is an Ish. He was an Ish Tzadik. Tam Hoya B'doy Raisaf. And then there was the third name, the name that he was known. His legacy. Everyone knew of him. Eshu Elokim Hishalich Noach. Anyone that would want to refer to Noach, they would say, "Who was Noach? Ah, Noach was the man that walked with God." So, and this is the ultimate shevach, that Noach's three names were the same. Because the Medrash indicates that it's usual for a person to have three different names. You have a name for yourself, a name that you know, everyone is Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde. Everyone in life, when you go to one shul, they know you this way. You go to another shul, they know you another way. Everywhere you have a different surah. And when people find out, they get confused when they see you in a different role, in a different community. And that even Yahushua ben Nun. Yahushua has three names. Yahushua, Hoshea ben Nun, and Yahushua ben Nun. Each one has a different connotation of what exactly is Taka, what was his role in life. Noach was so great, he was consistent. He achieved everything. The name his parents gave him is Noach. Whatever that means, you have to know whatever Noach means. Noach means peace. It means to rest. What? Chayn. Noach is chayn. All the various connotations that can be found in Noach. This is tremendous godless. Incredible. He was the same by his parents. We want you to be Noach. He was Noach. People knew him in the community as Noach. And what was the name he made for himself? Noach. The Chut HaMishulosh. Loi B'mehero Yinotek. Yeah.
Past tense, past, present, Noah, the future.
I don't know grammatically if that's correct. What does it mean? Noach means siddeli. It's in the present tense. Noach. Okay, but three. Yeah. Yes. But that's not in this pasuk. I'm talking about this pasuk. In this pasuk, the opening. What? That's later on. Ish Adama. That's not necessarily a name. That's not a name.
That was
what he did. He was a farmer. Here, the opening pasuk of the parasha tells us it's a reverend. This is an output. He makes a fantastic point. Three times. You got to go say this guy's. All right, now you show Ach Noach. There's another Gnai. Noach, famous drush, is that Noach was an Ish, Tzadik, Tomim, Hoyim, Doyosov. But when everything was over, by Yeshoher, Ach, only Noach. The title Tzadik went away, the title Tom went away, all the titles went away. Okay, that's a drush. But at least here, in the opening pasuk of the parasha, it is a very interesting point of Rav Nissen Alpert. It says that we were Noach three times. You can't deny there's a medrash that says a person has three names. And here, it fits into the psukim, the three different roles, what he parents, what he made out of himself, and what he was known, and the chiddush, which is totally baffling, mind-boggling, where you have such a person in the history of the world, that all three were the same. All three were the same. This is a feat that's not for the faint of heart. To pull off, to be consistent in life, and you should be known through and through by what you really are. Okay, let's go to another idea. This idea is very chav to me. The part of this idea is not really what he says, but it's alluded to in Rabbi Shur, Rabbi Avraham Shur, in the Sefer HaLechem HaLivuv. It's alluded to there. It's a very powerful Ayisoid. Vatishoches Ares Lefnei Elokim Vatimolei Haaretz Chamos. What does it mean, Chamos? The earth was destroyed, it was full of violence. Chamos is Gezel. Gezel. Shenemar Umin HaChamos Asher BeKapehem. In Yoina, there it's clear from the context, it means theft. Let's go to Parshas Lech Lecha. Parshas Lech Lecha, Sarah Imenu is frustrated. She has no children. And she tells Avram, you know what, why don't you take my Hagar? And let her and Ula Ibane Mimena, and through her I will be built up. So the plan does not exactly go well. What happens? Give me one moment to find the place. In Perik Tezayin Pasik Hey. Things don't go off very well. Vayoimer Avram. I'm sorry, Vayoimer Sarai El Avram. Well, let me go back a pasuk. Vayavo El Hagar Vatahar Vatere Ki Horasa. So when she saw that she was pregnant, Vatekal Givir Tobi Eneha. Hagar started to look down at Sarah. Vatomer Sarai. Vatomer Sarai El Avram. Chamosi Olecha. Now, what does that mean? Chamosi Olecha. It's a very hard word to translate. I don't have an English translation, but it means that we have an English translation there. What? The law. Din li Alach. I have complaints. What is the article translated as? You have an article translation? No, okay. So din li Allah, I have a complaint against you. Din. Let's see Rashi. Rashi here says, Chomos ha'osui li. The stimuli, this means the violence. Chomos means violence. In modern Hebrew, it means violence. The violence or the corruption. The corruption or the activity, the injustice. That's the word I'm looking for. The injustice. The chomos ha'osui li. The injustice that has been done to me by this maidservant, Hagar, by treating me with contempt because she got pregnant immediately and I got pregnant. Alecha ani matila ha'inish. You, my husband, you're going to suffer for this. She was a tough woman, Sarai. She says to her husband, I have suffered injustice and you know who's at fault and you know who's going to bear the consequences? You, Avram. You're the one that's going to get it for this. Why? Why? And here we go on. Kishispal, because it's all your fault. When you were mispalo to Hashem to have children, kishispalalta leHakadosh Baruch Hu, ma titeli v'yanochi olecharidi. What's it all about? I have no children. Lo hispalalta elo olecha. Yourself, you were selfish. You only prayed for yourself. The hoye l'chol hispalel al shenenu, for me as well. So that I would have a child with you. All you said to Hashem, Hashem, I have no children. I need a child. So maybe give me another woman. Let me have another wife. I'll get rid of Sarai. I'll get another wife. And through another wife, I'll have a child. Is that how you mispalo to Hashem concerning your family? I'm here, your loyal wife, all of these years, and you just ignore me? If you mispalo to Hashem, your tefillah should include that Hashem, you should give me a child through my wife, Sarai. And because you did not do this, instead you were selfishly mispalo for yourself, and that brought about this sequence of events where you took for yourself Hagar, and now she became pregnant, and now she looks down at me. So you know, Avram, you should get what's coming to you. Okay? Powerful stuff. You don't think of the others like this, right? The others are all nice, tali midos, everything is fine and good.
Translated as outrage.
Outrage. An article. Outrage. Interesting. Chamosi olecha, my outrage is directed against you. Everything is bashkach. That's right, she did. Yeah. Absolutely, she did.
Knowing that she might be pregnant.
But she did not see it coming that when she would become pregnant, she would look down. She would look with contempt, scorn upon, sorry, I'm better than you. I'm pregnant and you never became pregnant. It must be that you're a faker. You're a faker. All of your righteousness is not for real. And here I am. Look what happened to me. So this Sarai did not see coming. And even she did see coming, but that's how, things happen. Your person makes plans. But not the same words. Chamosi lecha chamos. Okay, the outrage. the outrage. I like my translation, the injustice that has come upon me. Okay, so what do we learn from this pasuk? The word chamas is a very hard word to translate. That's what we learned. Targum, as he said, says din, my complaint. My complaint against you. My injustice. My outrage. A lot of different words for the word chamas. It's the same word in the beginning of Noach. Vatimole ha'aretz chamas. But this is drush. Okay, we're going off the beaten path. What's the name, the main theme of when Sarai said chamasi olecha? So only in places here, at least in the Chumash Bereishis, we have the chamasi, is selfish. Chamasi, the outrage. You, Avraham, you selfish good for nothing. That's really what she said to him. You're a selfish person. You were mispalel only for yourself, you were not mispalel for me. Now we really can appreciate why the world came to an end. And it's scary for our day and age. What does it say in the Pasuk? Vati shocheis ha'aretz lefnehu Elokim. The world came to a state of corruption. Vati molei ha'aretz chomos. Everyone is in it for themselves. The world is a selfish place. No one can care less about anyone else but themselves. And when the world comes to such a matziv, vayar lekem es aretz v'nei nishchasa, ki yishchus kol bosas darakai al aretz, and that's the end. Hashem says, that's it, it's current as the world comes to an end. I once heard from the Lubavitcher Rebbe. The Lubavitcher Rebbe said, I think he said this, or maybe the Chassidim says, that when two Jews come together, it should result in a third Jew receiving benefit. Two Jews come together to make a l'chaim. What's the purpose of two Jews coming together? They should commit themselves to be mahane someone else. A third Jew should somehow be nene from a meeting coming together. Tafkid, the take out of Noach, is chomos, to think about someone else, a little concern for someone else. It's not only about me, myself, and I. This at least is a drush rooted in the words of Rabbi Avraham Shur in one of his svarim, numerous svarim, Halakach v'Halivov. Okay, let's now go to another drush. Okay, famous words, every darsha talks about this, the word of B'day Roysaf. Going back to the first pasuk, Tzadik Tamim, Ish Tzadik Tamim Hoya B'day Roysaf, in his generation, B'day Roysaf, Es Holokim Es Halachnach. What does Rashi say? B'day Roysaf. Yeish Merabo Seinu Dorshim Oysoy L'Shevach. Some interpret this in his generation. This is complimentary. Kol Shekein Hoya B'dor B'tzadikim Hoya Tzadik Yoser. If he lived in the time of Avram Avinu, and time doesn't say Avram, it says Tzadikim, Tzadikim he would have been even more righteous. Now, the reason why I inject very loosely, liberally, Avraham is because the Medrash compares Noach to Avraham. Es ho Elokim hisalech Noach. It says the word hisalech Noach, and it says by Avraham hisalech lefanai veyetamim. So that's, I think even Rashi quotes that somewhere over here. In the beginning somewhere, Rashi, yeah, you need a sa'ad. He needed a sa'ad. Here it is. Es lokim hisalech Noach. Of Avraham oimer hisalech lefanai, Noach hayetzach sa'ad. Listen, he needed support. He went by himself. So now, once you see that the next pasuk we are comparing Avram to Noach, so now when we darshin that he was b'day Raisav, yesh menabasim shdoshim l'shevach, if he lived in a generation of tzaddikim, which tzaddikim are we referring to? Well, l'chayra Avram Avinu, he would have been even greater. He would have been even greater. However, v'yesh shdoshim oso l'gnai, l'fi doyroi hoye tzaddik, v'ilu hoye b'doshim, he taka says this, see, I'm all confused. V'ilu hoye b'doshim Avraham, Lahoye Nechshav Lekumi would have been nothing. It's interesting. First he says Sadikim, and then he says Avraham. So it's not necessarily a contradiction. Maybe Enechanami. If he would have been in the judge of Tzadikim, but not Avraham. Other tzaddikim, Itaka would have been very, very great. But in the generation of Avram, then he would have amounted to nothing. So it's interesting, it's not necessarily a contradiction, these two perushim, because we're dealing with tzaddikim versus Avram. But let's put that diik aside. And first of all, one of the very, very popular diik is that notice when Rashi says that those that darshin l'shevach, Rashi says, yesh mei rabbi seinu. There are those from our teachers who darshin l'shevach. And when he says l'gnai, he omits the word rabbi seinu. V'yesh darshim oisoy l'gnai. People who speak with negativity negativity, they're not called Rabbi Seinu.
No.
Any Rav that gets up and his whole agenda is to debase and to put down, to criticize, that's not a Rav. That's not Rabbi Seinu. A Rabbi Seinu is someone that's looking for chizuk, the positive. The Rabbi Seinu is l'shevach, l'gnai. You're not Rabbi Seinu. You can be a Doresh. You can be a good public speaker, a good communicator. But you're not going to be Me Rabbi Seinu. Okay, that's one drush. Now, the other drush, what's over here going on with this idea? So I want to say something very simple. It's not totally my idea. Something triggered this in my mind. Is that here it says that he was a tzaddik. Where is the only place we're comparing him to Avram? We do compare him to Avram. Rashi says Beferish. If he lived in the generation of Avram, Lo Yehi Nechshav L'Klum. Why do we compare it to Avram? Avraham was also called a tzaddik, not in the full sense of the word, but at least he was referred to in the same shoresh. Hashem told Avram, "Do not fear; you will have children." Hashem says that you will have. I don't remember the psukim. You'll have children. And how did Avram respond? Vehemin b'Hashem. When Avram was informed that he would have a child, Avraham had faith. Vehemin b'Hashem. And the pasuk concludes, "Vayachsheveha lo tzedaka." Hashem considered his act, his act of faith, as a act of tzedaka, righteousness. Tzedaka is the same shoresh as tzaddik. So Noach is a tzaddik. Noach ish tzaddik. He's an ish tzaddik. And Avram, "Vayachsheveha." When Hashem thought about what Avram did, Lo tzedakah. He's a righteous person. He did an act of tzidkus. If you do an act of tzidkus, you are also obviously a tzaddik. Now notice, now here's the difference. Avraham was a tzaddik in emuna. It doesn't say anywhere in the psukim that he was a tzaddik in mice, in deeds. Of course we know he was. He was gemel chassad, and we all say that. But it doesn't say that in the pasuk. We have a tradition. He planted an eshel, achila, shasil, levi, v'chul, he did all these good things. But the only place where it says about Avram that he was a tzaddik was in emuna. Noach was an ish tzaddik, tam hoya b'dayrosav, and later it says, ki oischa ro'isi tzaddik lefonai b'dor hazeh. I see you, Noach, as a tzaddik before me in this generation. Okay, so what is the context referring to? Then you did my will. I told you to build a teva, to spend 120 years knocking away, building a teva, so that people will come and ask you what exactly is going on, and you did it. Now, was Noach a maimin? No. What does Rashi say? When it came time to go into the teva, it says, "Bibnei mehamabel, af Noach mikitane amono hoya." He lacked faith. He was Ketane Amona. Mamin Deine Mamin. He believed it would be a Mabel, but did not believe it would be a Mabel. Shayyavah Mabel, Voloy Nichnas Tev Ad Shadachu Hamayim, until the waters forced him in. So look at this. We have over here two different individuals. They're both called a Tzaddik. Noach is called a Tzaddik, Oschar Yisit Tzaddik Lefanai Badar Hazeh. And we have Avram, the Hem Bashem Yachshvech Loy Tzaddik. They're both called Tzaddikim. But their act of Tzidkus is very different. The Tzidkus that the Torah defines Avram is the Tzidkus of Emunah. Emuna is something in the mind. It's not something which is action. You have to do ma'isim to show your emuna, but we don't find any actions. Hashem told him the news information, and Avram was silent. Vehemin b'Hashem. Noach fakert. It says almost explicitly that he didn't have emuna. Miketani amano hoya. So what was he a tzaddik? What was the tzidkus of Noach then? The tzidkus was, I follow orders. I follow orders. You gave me orders what to do, Hashem. You told me there's going to be a Mabel. You told me to build a Teva. I'm going to build a Teva. Do I really believe there's going to be a Mabel? I'm not going there. I'm a tzaddik in following orders. Now, we all struggle with this. We all live. We do mitzvos. We daven. We learn. We do tayag mitzvos. We follow orders. And we also, in our minds, we believe that investing in all of these mitzvos is going to bring us good. It's all for the higher purpose. But you know, sometimes it's hard. Okay, sometimes life doesn't go your way, and you look back and you say, look at this, I've been so good, I've done everything right, I did everything I'm supposed to do, and look where I find myself now. How in the world did this happen? And it's very challenging. Emunah is something, so you could be, then there are people that didn't follow, were not with the program, they didn't do anything. They didn't go to Daven, they didn't learn, they didn't do mitzvos, they didn't do the mitzvos, they didn't do the ma'isim. And each one we find here in the Torah is defined with a separate description of being a tzaddik. Noach is a tzaddik in Meisim. Avram is a tzaddik in Emuna. And the big dilemma that Rashi is presenting, if a person is a tzaddik in Meisim, when he's challenged in Emuna, how will he react? Will he become even greater than the person who never had the Meisim? Or does it's not a riot. Just because you can be with the program, you can do all of the ma'isim, does not necessarily mean that when you have difficulties in Emunah, you're going to be able to stay with the program. Look at the Rachmanos and the Holocaust. There were people that were Torah observant Jews their entire life. They did all of the mitzvahs. And then when the Haran, no one's judging anyone, Chas v'Shalom. Chas v'Shalom to judge anyone. I mean, anyone that came out with Emunah is mamish by me, beyond imagination. So people that did Meisim, and then they were challenged with Emunah. They lived their whole adult life as tzaddikim, they did all the Meisim, and then there was a challenge of Emunah, and they survived. And what became of them? So there were groups of people that just couldn't deal with it. And then there were people, pumfakert. They went even higher. That's what Rashi over here is saying. Tzadik hoya bidoy roisof. We're just breaking down Rashi in more detail because you read this Rashi, okay, he was a tzadik in this generation. What would have been if he lived in the generation? What do you mean? Well, what's the point? The point is the avoda, the service that Avraham Avinu was required to do in his generation was a service of Meisim. He was abused. He was building a teva and he was harassed. Noach was abused. He built a teva 120 years. He was harassed. He was isolated, probably didn't want to do business, didn't want to be mashiach with his children, even though he had children only much later on. He had a lot of problems because of his ma'isim. Hashem told me to do it, I'm going to do it. It wasn't a challenge to his emunah. Avraham Avinu, his focus was emunah. He has no children. Hashem says, you're going to have a child. Emunah. Vehemin v'Hashem. V'yachshaver lo tzedakah. Fine, two different worlds. They're two different ball games. This is baseball, this is football. It's a whole different viewership. It's a whole different world. The shaila is, if a person talks like Noach and he excels in Meisim, how does that translate in the situation when he has to struggle, when he has a challenge of Emunah? And the answer is, yesh oimim like this, and yesh oimim like that, and we know from life experience and looking back at world history, elu v'elu divrei Elokim chayim, people who were meticulous in Meisim, when it came to Emunah, sometimes it was too much of a challenge, and sometimes pumfakert, the Meisim that they did was a catapult, gave them the koyach to go higher and higher in Emunah, in madregas of Emunah that you would ordinarily not reach if you only had Emunah without having the Meisim behind it.
I'd also say that if you're claiming to say somebody is a tzaddik,
yeah,
would have lived in somebody else's generation. In other words, you're comparing.
Yeah.
Then you compare and a form came afterwards. Usually say, if you would have lived like your father, then you would have been better. But a form came later, so how can you compare one?
That's what we're trying to bring out. It's not Avram. That's exactly the point I'm trying to bring out. I'm not trying to focus on people. I'm trying to focus on a different avoda. The avoda of Noach was Meisim. Amunah he didn't have. It says he didn't have. That wasn't the avoda of the time. Miketani Amonahoya. Will the marble come? Will the marble not come? Because that wasn't his tafkid. His tafkid was.
Yeah,
of course. How were we to say his emunah was infinitely greater than anything that we can possibly imagine?
How many people actually have 100%?
That's the question. His avoda. Okay, in a chanani, but it's a different avoda. The avoda of Noach was an avoda. What his generation demanded was an avoda of Maisim. The generation of Avram, what the demand was, emunah. That was the challenge. The challenge was emunah. The question is, how one goes into, does one Maisim help one excel in emunah, or not necessarily? You can do all the Maisim, but it's not going to be guaranteed that when there's a challenge in emunah, you can be able to survive.
So if he had been, for example, if Noach had been seeing the mice of Sodom and Amorah,
okay, that's a separate issue of reaching out. But Noach did what he was supposed to. The truth was that this was outreach. The fact that he set up a Noach mobile, a Teva mobile, for everyone to see, and everyone was coming, and he was a topic of conversation. So that itself, you know, he demonstrated. It was a demonstration every single day. And Chazal said that he suffered abuse. They tried to demolish the Teva. They tried, they harassed him. They tried to kill him. They tried to do all these things to him. They isolated him.
Did he pray for anybody else?
Chazal said he did not. That's another issue. That's a separate issue. That's a different facet. I just want to focus on this specific facet. Okay, let's go to another idea. Another short idea. What?
At one point he says,
yes.
So that was his action, right?
That was on his part. He dativ asher yitzaves bonav achav lasot tzedakah u'mishpat. So there it doesn't say that he was a tzaddik. It doesn't say lasos. He told his children to do tzedakah u'mishpat. This pasuk here is a much more powerful pasuk, because Hashem is speaking. Hashem over here is coming to say, "Vayachsheveha lo tzedakah." Hashem valued his act of emuna, vehemin b'Hashem, as an act of tzedakah. There is just a description. Avraham Avinu, he commanded his children to do tzedakah, to do good things. It's not the same power like this pasuk. I hear what you're saying. Okay, let's go further. Let's go now a quick word from the Reish Rav. I like this word very much. From the Reish Rav, It says here, Noach ish tzadik tamim haya bidoy roisav. Now, how do you translate the base of bidoy roisav? The simple translation is, it's probably as the Targum says, Zakai shlim hava bidoy roisav. The Targum doesn't help us just as a base. It means in. We would typically translate in his generation. He was a good man in the generation. If you would have to give an award to who is the greatest man of the generation, you would say Noach. Noach is a good man in this generation. The Reish Rav says al derech drush that the word bidoy roisav can mean with. He was good to his fellow man. Noach wasn't a selfish person. It's all about me. He was good with the people who lived alongside of him in the generation, with his generation. And what's the significance of that? Because the next words are Esho Elokim Hesalach Noach, Hashem walk with Noach. Now this Reish Rav says, take us to the Parashas, I think it's the Vayera, where Avram comes to Mitzrayim, and he comes and he says there to Paro, or no, Avimelech, I forgot, Paro Avimelech, whichever one was, Kirak in Yiras Elokim, Avimelech, Kirak in Yiras Elokim B'Mokim Hazeh. Why? I come here to this city, and the first thing you ask me is, who's this woman? Is she your wife? Is she your sister? Who is this woman? The first thing you ask a person when they come to a city is, do you have what to eat? Do you have where to stay? If there's no derech eretz, bein odom lachavero, that is a telltale sign that there is no yirah shamayim. If the first thing you want to know is about the woman, that means, ki rak ein yiras elokim b'makoyim hazeh. And conversely, if a person has derech eretz for his fellow man, then that's a simon muvok that he's a yorei shamayim. The pasuk here says
that makes no sense because he didn't pray for them.
What?
If he was so good to his fellow man, why did he pray?
Praying is one thing, but at least he treated them with respect. He was honest. He had respect for them. He dealt with them in a proper way. Praying for them that Hashem should not destroy them, like Avram prayed for Sodom, that's a different madrega. That's a higher madrega. But at least he didn't spit on them. He was good. When he dealt in business, he didn't look to rip them off. He was a pleasant person. He was a role model in how you deal with other people. To go to the extreme and to go and be mispal Ribbono Shel Olam, are you going to destroy all these people over here? Aren't there tzaddikim? Aren't there 10 tzaddikim in the Zuchus? That's already a different madrega. That was Avraham Avinu. He was a good person. Now, how do you know he was a good person? Because the pasuk continues. This is Drush. Because Es Hoelokim Hishalech Noach. Because Noach walked with Hashem. Noach was a Yorei Shomayim. Rak Ein Yiras Lakim Amokim Hazeh. Because v'haraguni al d'var yishti, it's only about women. There's no Yerushalayim, and when there is derech eretz, it automatically means there's Yerushalayim. It's exactly what the pasuk says here al derech drush. Noach was an ish tzaddik tamim hoya b'idoy raisav. He was good to his fellow man. Do you know why he was good to his fellow man? Because he was a Yerushalayim. Because es huelokim his salich Noach. Now go further. What about the generation? Pum fakert. The generation. Next pasuk after but concerning the people who lived in that generation, they were corrupt. They had no yirah shamayim. Oh, they had no yirah shamayim. We understand now why the next words vatimolei haaretz chomos gezel. There was no peace between. There was no derecheres between one man and the fellow man. So, in other words, the very first pasuk of the parsha, pasuk tes, is a parallel to pasuk yud aleph. Pasuk tes says Noach was a good man ben odom lachavero because he was a yorei shamayim. But conversely, his generation, they were vatishocheis arus lefnehu elokim. They were not. They had no yirah shamayim. Mimela vati molei haaretz chamas. Mimela, there was no derech eretz ben adam lachavero, and they resorted to violence, to theft, to all that goes along with it. Okay, let's go to another quick idea. It comes to the birds. When they enter into the teva, we have over here a description of the birds. I saw this idea. This is not my idea. I saw this. I don't remember where I saw this. Unfortunately, maybe it'll come to me. No, Rabbi Pelkowitz. Now I got Rabbi Pelkowitz. The senior Rav, the Rabbi Emeritus of the White Shul, where Rabbi Fine was calling the Rav. So he has a very, very good sefer called Table Talk. So every once in a while, I look in that sefer, and he writes over there, why is that when they went into the teva, the birds are last? When they went into the teva, boyata v'chol beitzcha el teva, okay, v'kol ha-behema ha-tohoira, tikach l'cha, the animals. Let's go further. When they enter into the teva, vayavohu noyach heima v'chol achayi l'mino v'chol abehema l'mino v'chol aremes l'aremes l'aremes l'mino v'chol oif l'mino kol tzipor kol konaf. It says in Pasuk Yudal, Perek Zayin Pasuk Yudal, when they actually entered the teva, the last creature to enter the teva were the birds. Kol tzipor kol konaf. They come after the behema, the remes, and the chaya. Yet when they come out of the teva, when the mabul is over, tzei min ha teva, ata v'ishcho v'necho v'nishe v'necho itach kol achaya asher itcha mikol basar. So first the animals, but then it says be'oif. First comes the oif, then comes the behema, and then comes the remes hermes ala aretz haitzei imach. The birds are pushed up much, much closer in the beginning of the pasuk. So what's going on? Why? So he says something very simple. Because what is the godless of a bird? What is the unique characteristic of a bird? It can fly. In the teva, there's nowhere to fly. There's nowhere to fly. There's no space to fly in the teva. There's no fly zone. So no fly zone teva. Mimela, when you have talent, when you have a gift, you may have the most beautiful gift, the most precious gift in the world, the koyach of flying. Fly. I mean, what greater thing is there in the world to fly? And you don't do it. You don't use it. It's not, you have no outlet to make use of it. So what are you? Don't go praise, oh, I can fly. Your milos are only as good as how, to the degree that you make use of it. If you have the greatest qualities, the greatest talent, and all the koichos, but you're not making use of it, what are you? You're worthless. go to the back of the line. But when they come out of the teva, and now the birds once again will be able to make use of their gift, now they come to the front of the line. They have what other creatures do not have. It's a very powerful Musar Haskel in life. Hashem gives you a gift, and you don't make use of the gift, don't take pride in your gift. It's worthless. The gift is only as good as the use that you take that gift to make use, to be mahana to yourself and mahana other people. Okay, let's go to another idea. When you go into the teva, now this idea I saw from a sefer Ner Uziel. It's not exactly what it says there, I'm telling you, but the idea is triggered by a few words that he writes in his sefer. And the sefer Ner Uziel takes note the difference in how people are described when they go into the teva. Very, very interesting. When the end of the teva, Hashem says to Noach, "Vayem Hashem Noach, bo, atah, you, v'chol beisecha el hateva, you and your whole household." Who does that include? His wife, his children, some say his servants also went into the teva. That's all it says. Okay, that's all it says. Oh, then it does say more. You say, I made a mistake. That's Vayavai Noach Uvanov, V'ishtoi Uneshei Vanov Ito Elatev Emneha Mea Mabel. So this is not going to work, this idea, totally. Okay, let's don't give up yet. Okay, then it goes on to say that he went. He went, him, his sons, his wife, his Neshei Vanov, Ito Elatev Emneha Mea Mabel. Okay, fine. Now let's look at the animal. This is really the main focus. I wanted to add in Noach, but I see I made a mistake, so we'll leave that point out. But let's look at the animals. The animals, it says, it talks about the animals. They all come into the teva. When they leave the teva, and we describe their departure, it says, kol achaya, kol haremes, v'chol ha'oif, v'chol remes al ha'adama. It adds one more word. Now, I know I'm back in business, Rabbi Yisrael, because when it says L'mishpichoy Sehem, it's going back on the Noach and his sons and his wife as well. So I'm back in business. When they go into the teva, we have a description. Noach, you, your wife, your children, your daughter-in-laws, v'chulu v'chulu, animals, wild animals, domesticated animals, birds, creepy crawlers, everyone, no fish allowed. Fish can stay where they are. Everyone goes inside. And it doesn't say, but when they leave, what? But when they leave, it says, they all leave. Vayetze Noach uvanav, v'ishtoi uneshevanav, kol achaya, kol haremes, v'chol ha'oif, kol rames al ha'oretz. If we would have stopped there, we would have been very satisfied. But the pasuk is one more word. They left as families. According to their families, did they leave the teva? When they went into the teva, it doesn't say the word but their family. Noach and his wife and his children, his daughter was their family. The animals are also families. They are families of animals. So, you know, Rashi, Barvon says Kash, Rashi does take note. And Rashi says there was a Kabbalah. All of the animals signed on the dotted line that we're not going to interbreed with other species. So there's a Drush, there's a Rashi on the Pasuk. I'm not denying the word Rashi. Rashi, Rabban, Shel, Kol, Yisrael. It says they were Makabal. The words of Rashi are, let me see the words of Rashi. Kiblu aleihem al menas lidabeg biminam. They were makabel. They're not going to deviate from their min. Okay, but I think there's a drush. The Ner Uziel says a powerful drush, really powerful stuff. That when you go through an experience of being locked up in a teva for a year, you become family. That experience will never take even Rachmanelitz. Some people who are in prison together, inmates. Hardened criminals that are in prison for years together, their family. When they get out on the other side, they keep in contact with each other. They invite each other to their smachos, their family. Going through a hostage crisis, people who have all these stories about people on airplanes that crash and there they survive. The people that go through the experience, they become bond. Unit. People that go through a difficult experience, but I'm focusing on a combat, a battalion. People that go through a difficult experience, the experience causes bonding. It solidifies the relationship. When they went into the teva, hey, this is my wife, this is my children, these are my daughter-in-laws. Of course we're family. You think you're family. You don't know what family means. You know what family means? After sitting together for a year, confined, in a difficult matzif of what's going, the world has come to an end, churban, and seeing what's going on, and you go through it together, you come out, now you're family. Now you become an entirely new madrega. It's a whole new world. Want to extrapolate al derech drush? All the mafarshim that darshanim say that bisman hazeh, what's the base medrash is the modern day teva. Out in the world, there's a churban going on in the world. There's a churban. The whole world is falling to pieces. They're falling to pieces for 2,000 years. It's always falling to pieces. It's just getting worse and worse. Where is the only place with its refuge? In the base medrash, the base hakneses. The base medrash, the base hakneses is the teva of Noach in modern times. When you go into the teva, you're creating, you're bonding its mishpacha. When you walk out of the teva, it's l'mishpichoy sehem. A true test of a community, of a kihila, of a beis medrash, of a koilel, is if when you walk out of the koilel, you walk out of the beis medrash, you can say about the chaverim, they are my family. L'mishpichoy sehem yatsu min hateva. Okay, let's go to another idea. This idea is mamish made for this coming election. this Tuesday. It says over here, this is really amazing. It says over here, we have a very beautiful drasha when Hashem tells Noach to take all the papyrus, all the animals to the teva, you take min abehema hatahoira, or min abehema asher einena tahoira. That's not tahoira. So there's no Rashi here. Maybe there is. I passed over it. But the Gemara says, why does it have to say Asher Einena Tehora? Cut to the chase. Behema Hatimeya. So the Gemara says the Torah here is coming to teach you Derech Eretz. Shaloi Lahoitzi Dover Megumgum Bepiv. The Koyach HaDibur is so great. It's so great. It's so essential. It's kedai for the Torah that is marked on every single koit shel yud to express an idea in more words and more letters than are necessary in order that it should be refined. It should be nimus, it's derech eretz. It's an edelkeit. The koyach hadibur demands that you don't say tmeya, you say tohoira. Question, not my idea, I don't remember where I saw this, but it's a powerful question. Who are we talking about here? We're talking about the door of Moshe Rabbeinu. We're talking about the door of Shlomo HaMelech. We're talking about Matan Torah, Yetzias Mitzrayim. We're dealing here with the people who are the lowest of the low. Vatimolei vakihishchis kol basar darkoi al haretz. Use your imagination, what that can mean. And whatever you think it means a lot worse. Kihishchis...
They were all deplorables.
Deplorables, okay. Kihishchis... Ki hishchis kol basar darukoi al aretz. A different derech. It was a different derech. Darukoi al aretz. We're dealing over here with the lowest of the low. You can only begin to imagine the nivel peh that came out of their mouths when they spoke. How these people spoke. And in this generation, Hashem is saying to Noach, go into the teva. You take the behema hatahoira. And the behema asher einene tahora. In this generation, you have to speak in such delicate words. We're dealing here with the biggest lowlifes in this generation. So Noach, obviously, they're cursing Noach day and night. So and the word tmei is not a bad word. The word tmei is also a refined word. If you want to go teach me a lesson of refinement, we'll wait for Moshe Rabbeinu. We'll wait for Matan Torah. We'll wait for some nice event in the Torah. Everyone is on a high. Over here is exactly the point. The Torah did not teach us this lesson in Chumash VaYikra. There it talks about the Sharatzim and the Beim Taneya. There we don't care. We bedavka are teaching you this lesson in a society that has stooped to the lowest of the low. Wake up. Wake up. Where, how far have you fallen? You've fallen so far, I'm going to remind you with just a nice word. The contrast between the depth of depravity that they have sunk into relative to an edel word is mekotze el hakotze. I think it's self-understood, the application, that we're living over here in a generation, unfortunately, where, I mean, what's going on, the conversation between the various parties is unprecedented in world history, both sides, right? And it's unbelievable what has become. And yet here it's Parshas Noach. It's Parshas Noach. It's not, we're not holding it Vayikra, Bamidbar, Dvarim, right, Erev Yom, and we lay tomorrow Behema Hatanea, and the Behema Atahoira, the Behema Asher Einena Tahoira. Don't forget, even in the lowliness of the moment, don't forget there's a Ribbono Shel Olam, and the Ribbono Shel Olam has very, very different standards. Very different standards for Klal Yisrael. There's something called Edelkeit, there's something called refinement. Tahoira, Einena Tahoira. Enough said. Okay, let's go. What?
That's why next week is
Okay, let's go to another idea. Let's go to another idea. Okay, we're running out of time. We are running out of time, so let me finish up. Okay, this is, let's just talk a little bit about the Dor HaFlaga. There are two things I want to point out, the difference between the Dor HaFlaga and the Dor HaMabul. Well, not the two differences. The Dor HaFlaga and the Dor HaMabul, they're really two halves of one whole. The whole Parshas Noach talks about the two possible extremes, two possible ways in history people have come to rebel against HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Now, let me give you one example. Both the Dor HaMabul and Dor HaFlaga have in common technology. What do we mean? They both have common technology. The Dor HaMabul, this is a very famous reference from Rav Pam. Rav Pam says that who was the one who, when the earth was destroyed, it says, when the Mabul began, the earth was also destroyed. Three tefachim of the earth was destroyed. Rashi says, why three tefachim? It's the Oimek HaMacharesha, the depth of the plow. Now, what does that mean? So Rav Pam has an incredible word on what this means. He says, how did it come about that Vatimolei Ha'aretz Chamos, all of a sudden the generation of Noach? So he explains, because Noach was the one that invented the plow. Until this point in time, how did you plant? With your bare hands. Can you imagine today going out into the field with your bare hands and softening the earth and putting in little seeds and then coming back to water it, to irrigate the field, and coming back to work the land? Your bare hands, to plow the earth, your bare hands. If you have to plow the earth with your bare hands, there is no time in the day for anything else. There's no time for Daf Yomi. There's no time for Kollel. There's no time to Davin. The only thing you do from morning until night, including night overtime, is plow the land with your bare hands. Along comes Noach, he invented technology, a plow. You don't have to use your bare hands. You hitch the plow to an ox, and the ox goes, and the whole thing is done in 5 minutes, and you're done. And what do you do now? Free time. What do you do in your free time? It's like, you know, the driverless cars. Rahman would stun the no. They ever say, oh, what's the? Why do you want to have driverless cars? For so much free time. You can sit in the car. You can do whatever you want. You don't have to drive. You don't have to have daigas. So the first guy to get killed in a driverless car, okay, the what's it called? The Tesla. The guy who's Tesla. What?
Tesla.
Tesla.
Tesla. With a Mopic K.
Tesla. So what was he doing? So he wasn't driving. He was sitting there enjoying himself as the car was driving by itself, and the car got into an accident and he was killed. So what was he doing with his free time? They came out with the report. What was he doing now? Yeah, you don't have to drive a car. Free time. So you can read intellectual pursuits. You can spend time with your family. He was watching Harry Potter. When you have free time, it does not necessarily mean it's going to be used to pursue things of value, intellectual pursuit. Entertainment is also good, okay, but I'm not coming to criticize entertainment, but, okay, you understand what I mean. Noach, by inventing the plow, gave man free time. How did man use their free time? Materialism, jealousy, corruption, vatimolei ha'aretz mibneihem. Technology was the cause of their downfall. This is what Rapam says. That's why the earth, when it was destroyed, three tefachim, the Omek HaMacharesha, why? To remind them, if you did not have a Macharesha, you wouldn't have time for all this nonsense. You would be tzaddikim. You wouldn't have time to do averus. You'd be tzaddikim. You'd be struggling to survive. There would not be a korban. Now that you have technology, free time. instead of use that free time to do something productive, you chose to use that free time to enjoy yourself, and one thing leads to another until there was too much materialism, jealousy, and rivalry, and gezel. That's the world comes to an end. It was the technology is what did themselves in. Well, how?
So the technology is at fault.
Of course not. That's the less. You have to make use of the technology. I'm going to come back to this one time. Now let's go to the Dor HaFlaga. What was the chayt of the Dor HaFlaga? I'll bring out the point in a moment. What's the Dor HaFlaga? What do they do, Dor HaFlaga? They invent new technology. How do you build a building? You need stone. If you live in a region where there is no stone, you don't build buildings in ancient times. You need stones. Babel, there are no stones in Babel. Technology. Someone came along and invented that you can create artificial stones. Pasuk says the chomer was a levena. They took this chomer, they made levenos, and the levenos served in place of stones. That was a breakthrough in technology that you can create, manufacture artificial bricks, and now we're unlimited. Now here's the difference. So the Dor HaFlaga. In the Dor HaFlaga, they use the technology to rebel against HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Now that we have this technology, we don't need Hashem. Let's now build a tower to say, Ribbono Shel Olam, get out of here. We don't want you. We don't need you. So look at the difference. Look at the complete picture. We have one parasha, Noach. Noach, the Mabel, Dor HaMabel, Dor HaFlaga. Both of these generations stumbled because of technology, but it was very different. The Dor HaMabel, the technology was good, was powerful, it was a wonderful thing. But what did the technology do? It gave them free time. It freed up their time, and now they used that free time that technology gave them, the opportunity to do Averos. The Dor HaFlaga was different. They actually used the technology as a tool to rebel against HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And these two parashios encompasses the dangers of technology. Technology, I'm the first guy to tell you, listen, I'm not from those...
technology, we do both. You waste our free time.
What?
With the phone, you waste your free time. And you
okay, you can interpret this as you wish. I'm not over here to anyone thinking Musa about these type of things. But the point obviously is, obviously technology is the greatest bracha. But there are dangers. And the dangers, the totality of danger of technology can be seen, can be extracted from this week's parasha. The technology saves time. It gives you opportunity to make parnasa, to do things that you would ordinarily have to spend weeks, months. And now look at that, I'm freed up. Very good. What are you going to do with that time? Go online and just waste your time watching movies, watching television? Is that what you can do with your time? Or now that you have free time, you're going to do something productive with your life? And likewise, don't let the technology be a tool to do averus. This is the totality of the two different, the Dor HaMabel and the Dor HaFlaga. It's a bracha. No question about it. But be careful. Be careful of two very different possible dangers of technology. Okay, another thing. Okay, another last thing to conclude, and that is, what exactly was the chait of the Dor HaFlaga? I want to say a drush. The drush is Vayhi Kol Aretz Sofo Echos. What does it mean? What were Sofo Echos? Rashi says Lishoin Hakodesh. Powerful Rashi. Everyone living in the world spoke Lishoin Hakodesh. Why? They had other languages. There's no doubt about it. All the Mamari Chazal indicate that they already had 70 languages at this point in time. What Hashem did to them was Hashem caused them to forget each other's language so they couldn't communicate. They certainly had Aramaic. There's no question about that. So over here it's Vahi Chol Aretz Sofo Echos. Rashi says L'shoyin HaKodesh Udvarim Achodim. And yet, even though they have Lashon HaKodesh, Rashi goes on, given many interpretations, what it means, Dvar Machadim, they right away began to plot, they unionized against the Ribbono Shel Olam. They said, we don't want you, Ribbono Shel Olam. Rashi goes on, gives many interpretations, but the word Dvar Machadim means they all got together. They got together as one to rebel against HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Hashem says, "Nu vayered Hashem." They went on to go build a city, a technology. Vayered Hashem liros esuira v'samigla shabanu bnei adam. Let me see what's going on down here. Vayoyver Hashem. Hashem said, "Hein am echad v'sofa achas luchulam." Nochma. Hashem repeats it. Nochamol. The one nation v'sofa achas luchulam. You have to say l'shitosai means they all speak l'shona kodesh. V'zeh hachilam la'asois. And this is what they begun to do? Question mark. Rashi says bitmiyah. If this is what they begun to do, there's no holding them back. They'll destroy the world. There's no holding them back. What's going on over here? So I think the drush is, they did this all l'shem shamayim. They spoke l'shoin hakodesh. There's no greater danger when a person presents himself as a religious leader and secretly has his own agenda. Because then if you question what he says, you're questioning Das Torah. You have a person, he presents himself as being religious. I speak to you L'shoin Kodesh. It doesn't just mean the Hebrew. It means my words are holy words. My language is L'shem Shemayim. Everything I'm telling you is Das Torah. And really deep down, it's not Das Torah. You have an agenda. You're trying to make a business. You're trying to help your family. You're trying to do this. You're trying to do that. Once you create a situation where you establish a new religion and you use that as a facade to achieve their advarim achadim, there's no limit to how much danger you can cause. Because if you're just a secular person and you open up a business and you're a fraud, so you're not going to mislead people because people are now looking for guidance. Religion is where people are looking for guidance and people are afraid to question because you're always shut down. You're a non-believer. This is the religion. If you don't believe in the religion, then you're a non-believer. Then we're going to throw you out of the community. So then, that's what the pasuk means. When a person does something like this, you watch out. There's no limit to how much harm a person can do. There's no limit to how much harm they can do. So notice the difference between the two generations. The generation of Noach, the Dor of Noach, of the Mabel, they weren't religious. There was no religious nature. It was pure materialism. It was purely selfish needs. Corruption on a secular level. Ribbono Shel'Olam, we're not interested in you. We don't believe in you. We just want to have a good time in this world. Ki hishkas kol basar darkoi ala aretz. That's one type of churban in the world. The other type of churban in the world is where people make believe they're religious. You make believe, this is my religion, I'm doing everything l'shem shemayim, and really think about what you're doing. Is it really l'shem shemayim? It's not l'shem shemayim. It's just for show. It's just because you want to use religion as a tool to achieve something else. That's a different type of churban. These two types of churbanos encompass the shlemus of how one can truly destroy the world. And the message is, number one, this is a Ribbono Shel Olam. That's, don't be like the Dor of Noach, Dor of the Mabel. Number two, you always have to challenge yourself. Am I really doing it l'shem shemayim? Is this really what Hashem wants from me? Is this the Ritzoyin HaBoyrei to do these crazy things, these crazy chumras? Is this really what HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants from a person? Once you start putting labels of Das Torah on every single little thing, watch out. Zeh hachilam lasos. Watch out. You have to always challenge yourself to make sure you are with the program. Have a wonderful Shabbos. Be well.